a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces right here on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, very happy to be with you on this Thursday. This, of course, the Outer Spaces edition of our program, when we take your plant and garden questions. And with us once again, back from vacation, it's Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist. Doug, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back. And I'll tell you, vacationing in Florida, the weather can be either good or bad. In my case, it was both. The first two or three days was cool and some rain. And then the next three or four days was sunny. And I think a couple days ago, it was 83 degrees.
Well, I want to talk about not just about the weather down there, but the crazy weather we're having up here in just a moment. But first, I want to invite our listeners to join us. If you have a question or a comment about your outer spaces, that is a plant or garden question, do give us a call, 260-452-1185, or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can always post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. And not only do we want to hear your plant and garden questions, we'd love to hear your suggestions for this season as well, if you have a tip you'd like to share. Now, Doug, you went from your good and bad weather in Florida up here. We've been in the
20s. It's called the good, bad, and ugly.
And ugly. and we've been mostly in the 20s and 30s here in your absence, but we're going to hit 43 today, and over the weekend, my gosh, we're looking at maybe 58 degrees.
58, isn't that crazy? And then, boom, it dives right back down again.
Yeah. I'm sure lots of folks are itching to get back outside, but wait. I'm sure it'll get cold and snowy and no fun again. Don't get out and work too much during the warm weather.
Well, you can get out and do whatever outside projects you haven't gotten finished yet, but really, why would anyone not have outside projects not finished? They've had so many breaks in the weather where they could go out and do this, get that last job done. How many last jobs can you have? Well, I guess you can have a lot of them.
There's always something more to do. I'm sure many of our listeners would attest to that.
Go paint the house.
That's right. while we're waiting for folks to get on the line with us, currently no callers in the phone bank. Doug, you and I were talking before the show got started here about, I think you called it life after poinsettias.
Life after poinsettias. Plant life after poinsettias. I talk about them a lot in November, December, because it's my life. And once poinsettia season's over, well, if your poinsettia is dying, if 50-60% of it has fallen apart, just throw it away. That's the simplest method. Can you keep it? Sure, you can keep it. Anytime you want, you can cut the plant in half. It doesn't have to be in January, February, March, just whenever you want to cut it back. The only reason to do this is if you want to try and keep it on. But let me tell you something. Poinsettias never bloom as well the second time. It's hardly worth the effort.
Wow, really?
In fact, when we used to grow stock plants, we would take all the cuttings off these stock plants that we could. And the stock plant was planted in May. So see, it's not even an old plant. It's old in poinsettia terms. It would be planted in May. The cuttings would be harvested in June and July. And then there was always this thing, boy, it's such a nice plant, this stock plant. Maybe we should keep a few and try to bring them into bloom. They always look bad. The blooms are never large. They don't have the deep, bright color. Only the cuttings look good. So it really has to be new stuff in order to look good. That has nothing to do with your talent.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. So you really, from year to year, you really have to out with the old and in with the new.
Yeah, exactly. And poinsettias is definitely one of those. But if you just want to try, then sometime in the next 3 months, cut the plant in half, even if it just leaves you down to sticks, because the sticks will then sprout out. And so often I talk about a plant that grows, and once it grows and becomes blooming, it's no longer growing. It's now blooming. This isn't true with petunias and marigolds and impatiens, things that are in the springtime, because they grow and bloom at the same time. But for most plants, They grow, then they set bud, and then they bloom. And while they're blooming, they're not growing. This is why the only ingredient you have to add is water. You add fertilizer during the growing process, but once it's blooming, no more fertilizer. It will do no good. If anything, it'll hurt your plant.
Wow. All right. Well, yeah. I want to invite our listeners to weigh in on their lives after the holiday season. Life after poinsettias, as we mentioned, 260-452-1185 is our local line. Or if you have another question or comment, maybe a tip to share with us this hour, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. No questions in the hopper yet. I'm sure we'll have a lot of folks join us soon. Now, Doug, I know you wanted to put a call out, kind of a part two
yeah,
to this
because
Life After Point Center.
What we want to say here today is we're changing the whole theme of the show from outer spaces to inner spaces. We're moving inside because it's wintertime. And so no more poinsettia talk. That's the last time you heard the word. We're going to talk about other things that you can get and put in your home and beautify it. And there's so many things out there that you can buy. I mean, 8, 10, 14 different kinds of blooming plants that you can buy. There's also tropical house plants, which really hang on for a long time, sometimes years. Mm-hmm. But as I had mentioned to Sean, I wrote a newspaper article about other blooming plants. And my suggestion was, you know, when you go out and you're shopping and you see a wide variety of plants, there's no rule says you have to buy them all. I know the retailer would like you to buy one of everything, better yet, two of everything. No, just figure out where in your house you think a plant might look good, a blooming plant. And maybe there's a couple of places. So buy one or two blooming plants, buy it now, and then check it out in 3 to 4 weeks and say, well, if this thing's starting to deteriorate, don't try to fix it. You can't fix it. Get rid of it and go buy another one or two plants. And rotate throughout the winter months. That way, every time a guest comes to your house, they're going to just be like, oh, she always has such nice blooming plants.
Overwhelmed by the life indoors.
Yeah, why would any guest come into your house and see a plant that's been there for 8 weeks that is just practically on death's bed? That's not going to impress anybody. So,
well, let's put it to our let's put it to our listeners. How have you decorated your home? Brought the outside indoors, so to speak. Maybe you can help inspire some of our other listeners to green up their homes.
Has anyone done anything yet, or did they just throw the unmentionable away and do nothing more?
Looks like we have a caller on the line here, so we want to hear your questions and comments, and of course we want to know how you've greened up your home over these winter months. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Let's open the phones and go to Greg. Good afternoon, you're on Midday Matters.
Hi there.
Hi, Greg.
Can you take one more outside question?
Oh, I'll take, as many as
we can get.
Well, actually, one of those jobs I didn't get around to was digging some horseradish.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering, can I do it in the spring?
You can. You can leave them out there all winter if you like. The beauty about this winter so far is I don't think the ground's frozen yet. You know, mm.
I could still dig it right now.
Yeah, I think you could. You could dig some now. You could hold off and dig some later too. I don't think the ground's frozen. I know you guys, it really got down into the 9-degree range for a few days last week.
I don't think the ponds even froze very thick.
No, but you know, I see the river, the St. Mary's River, is freezing on the edges, which some years it never freezes. So it must have gotten cold, but I don't think it's a deep freeze where the ground is frozen very deeply. I'm sure the ground's not frozen.
Well,
I could be wrong.
And you know, temperatures today, really through the weekend and into, I think, next week are going to help help that situation, help the ground warm up if it's frozen just a little bit in places.
All right, that'll work.
All right.
Yeah, you bet.
Greg, we appreciate the call. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. A little horseradish for your lunch here. I don't know.
Well, we went when we were in Florida, we visited my mom, and she was talking about the cocktail sauce for shrimp cocktail. She always makes her own, and she puts a lot of horseradish sauce in it.
It's a little too much for me usually.
Yeah, I think the strongest horseradish sauce I've ever eaten at a restaurant is in Indianapolis at St. Elmo's. You ever been there?
I haven't.
I want to tell you what. I love, you work for a nonprofit station.
A little above my pay grade at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you, that stuff is dangerous. That should come with a warning on the label. I'll tell you, that is hot.
Oh, man. Well, I'm not much of a hot or spicy guy currently, but I'll work into that. Looks like we have another call on the line here.
Right.
I think we'd... rather hear from Susan as opposed to our lunch choices. Susan, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question, please, regarding, well, first of all, the garden catalogs have begun to arrive.
Yes.
And we are pretty good vegetable gardeners. We know our way around fairly well. I have aspirations this year to start indoor plants, such as tomatoes, peppers.
Yes.
To start my own plants as opposed to buying plants at a plant center and putting them in the ground myself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips or thoughts? I
have great tips for this, and it's so crazy. Do not do this early. People have planted stuff early, like tomatoes. It's just insane. You cannot plant your indoor seeds till the 1st of April.
Oh, okay.
Do not do it now or next month or even the month after that. It's way too early. Here's the rule of thumb. From the time you plant a tomato seed till it's ready to move outside is about 5 weeks. So
okay.
If you plant it the 1st of April, it'll actually be ready the first, you know, on the second week of May, which usually is still too soon. So now you're going to have a sixth week while you're waiting on the weather to break, if that happens. Of course, last year the weather broke March the 1st, which is insane. But do not start them early. 5 weeks for tomatoes, 7 weeks for peppers.
Okay.
So peppers take a little longer to germinate. But, you know, so if you want to start peppers the last week of March, okay, go ahead. But not any sooner than that. I'll tell you, I had a story about a guy that called me up years ago, called me up in late November, and he said, yeah, I've got some tomatoes in the house, and I just wondered what I should do to take care of them. And I said to him, you dug these tomatoes up and brought them in the house? He goes, oh, no, I planted the seeds. I said, you planted seeds for when? He goes, for next year. And I said, you planted seeds when? It's October. I said, okay, yeah, I can tell you what to do with those tomatoes. As soon as we hang up, throw them out, because you will do that eventually. These are not going to hold until next spring. He had envisioned these monstrous, beautiful plants, probably with tomatoes on them before he even got to gardening season, and there's no way you can do that. It can't happen. Tomatoes will not produce in the house. You might get a cherry tomato to do it, but a regular tomato, no way.
So
not
you're
in the winter.
Bottom line, urging patience here.
Patience. Don't start until April.
What do you? Would the same go then for, say, cauliflower, cabbage, broccoli, if we wanted to start those indoors?
Yes. You could still start them. You could maybe start those in late March simply because they're cold crops, but the key here is you have to move them outside early.
Right.
You could actually plant them in the ground in April. Even if it snows on them, it won't hurt. But here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to have these babies, and I mean baby these things, along in your house where it's warm. And then just one day go out and plant them and it drops down to 10 degrees
right.
that night. You want to make sure that when you do move them to the outside, the temperatures are going to be, bordering in the 30s to 40s.
Right.
So that they can have several days and nights to get used to the coolness. And then if the weather plunges, they'll be okay.
Okay.
Just don't put them outside on a plungy day.
Right. You need to wean them a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, and I thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Susan, we appreciate the call, and good luck. And let us know when you do get those started. We'd love to hear from you again.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Have a very good day. Doug, we need to take a break in just a moment, but you're getting ready to jump in.
I was just going to go on with her subject about taking things outside, which I guess that's my subject. But it also makes a lot of sense in the springtime. Like, people will tend to keep mandevillas and hibiscus trees through the winter. And then everyone knows hibiscus loves sun. So their tendency is to wait until a sunny day and take them outside. Well, then they fry. Hmm. They scorch. Why? Because they're not used to the sun. They're used to being cooped up in your house where it's not sunny. So when you do take a plant like a hibiscus or a mandevilla or any other house plant that's been cooped up in your house all winter, when you do decide to take it outside, you want to do it on a very cloudy day, even a rainy day. It's like, well, I don't want to go out on that weather, but that's when you should put the plant out there and then let the plant get adjusted to better weather as it improves. But do not take it out there on a hot, sunny day or it will scorch.
We do need to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll have a question from Anita about gardening. And of course, we want to invite you to join us today as well. The number 260-452-1185. If you have a plant or garden question, you can always call us toll free as well. 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. And besides the regular plant and garden questions, Doug, of course, we want to hear from folks about how they've greened up their homes after the holiday season.
You know why they're not calling? They haven't done it.
Well,
they need to.
Well, if you have plans or if you've done it already, we'd love to hear from you about what you're doing this season. Do stay with us. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
It's time to meet music.
Hi, I'm Julia Meekin-Watts, new on this week's Meet the Music. Double fine music from Sherry and her Bluegrass Bobs and the young and talented tune Fancy. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM or listen online at nipr.fm. A two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music.
Business is growing for those whose job is keeping an eye on employees. The goal is to catch worker misconduct before it can get employers into legal trouble.
The smart CEOs and boards are saying it's not a question of whether something naughty is going on in our company, it's a question of where and how often.
Corporate monitoring later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Barry Lopez is best known for writing about the natural world, but he goes deep into his own inner life in an essay about how he was abused by a pedophile over a period of 4 years and how that affected the course of his life. Lopez's essay about confronting the trauma of sexual abuse is in the January edition of Harper's. We'll talk with him on the next Fresh Air.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Recent attacks in India and Steubenville, Ohio have put rape in the headlines. But how much of what we think we know about rape is riddled with myth and misinformation? I'm Celeste Headley. What we know about rape, who does it and why, who the victims are, and who reports it. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Twelve 26, you're tuned to Midday Matters on WBOI. This is the Outer Spaces edition of our program, when we ask you to call in with your plant and garden questions. With me, of course, as usual, Doug Hackbarth, back from vacation. I hope you had a good vacation there,
sunny
Doug.
Sunny Florida. It was 83 degrees a few days ago, and it was so funny because I had breakfast at the St. Pete Airport. And on the same day, I had lunch at Panera's here in Fort Wayne at 11 o'clock. crazy.
That's still weird to me.
It is. 2-hour flight. That's all it was.
No, that's not
amazing.
That's not too bad. We do want to hear from you, our listeners, today. If you have a question or perhaps a comment, maybe a tip to share with the audience, give us a call, 260-452-1185, or toll free at 1-800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Lots of ways to get in touch with us today. And Doug, we have an additional topic today that we've been talking about a little bit so far over the course of this program.
Mm-hmm. That is indoor blooming plants, just to keep your house looking fresh and alive. You know, it's amazing when you put those plants there and it's a cloudy, gloomy day. I don't know. They don't really brighten the day up as much as one that when that sun comes out, all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's like a burst of spring because you have blooming plants in your house. And of course, a lot of the blooming plants that you can get, cyclamen, calanchos, azaleas, hydrangeas, they last for just a short time. 3, 4, maybe 5 weeks, and then they fade and die. I mean, they wouldn't have to die, but they die. The blooms die, and there's hardly any point in trying to grow them again because it could take 3 to 4 months to grow them back again. So just go get some other ones.
Yeah. And we want to know which ones that you've chosen. How have you greened up your home over these cold winter months?
Right.
The number one more time, 260-452-1185 or middaymatters@nipr.fm. Doug, we've got an email here from Anita. Anita has a garden question. Anita says, I'd like to start a small vegetable bed in my backyard this spring, but we have two issues, clay soil and lots of rabbits in the area. Any tips or advice on the easiest and most economical way to start out and build this bed?
You know, she could build a cold frame to get things started.
A cold frame.
A cold frame. A cold frame, you get a piece of plywood. And I used to have dimensions, but you take a piece of plywood and you cut how did they do that? Anyway, I think you can do it all out of one piece where you have two sides and two ends, and you build this square frame. It's kind of angled. Mm-hmm. You build this square frame, and then you can actually plant your vegetables and get them started right in the ground inside the cold frame. And there's no heaters involved, so obviously you can only plant things that are cold crops, like everything that rabbits like, you know, lettuce and cabbage and broccoli and all that stuff. And you can get it started in there. The frame will protect it. You have to build some sort of a cover over it, though, whether you build a wooden frame and put plastic over it, something that's somewhat clear. And at night, you have to cover it so that when it gets extremely cold, the ground underneath holds the heat. The dangerous part about cold frames for most people, or even home greenhouses, is they don't put a lot of importance in the ventilation. And the problem is, in the daytime, they take off and go to work. Then the sun comes out, and their cold frame or their little private greenhouse heats up to 150 degrees, and everything dies. So there has to be a way to ventilate this thing. Normally with a cold frame, you simply lift the lid up, prop it open so the heat can get out, and hopefully the rabbits don't climb in. I guess a hungry rabbit could. You know what I was just thinking is normally they prop it open on the shallow side, prop it open on the high side, because you're going to cut these boards at an angle. Sometime I'll have to get that diagram on the internet so that people can see it, because you can't see it on the radio.
We're challenged that way sometimes.
Yeah.
I want to ask you too. She wants to start this bed, you know, come springtime in the backyard with clay soil. Any worries there?
Yeah, she simply needs to improve her soil. Now with a cold frame, since it's not a giant thing, she can simply work up the soil that's there and then add some of this artificial mix to it and mix the two together so that there's real dirt there and the artificial, which the artificial is a mixture of a lot of great things, peat moss and vermiculite and perlite, mm-hmm. things for drainage and for softening the soil. That type of thing, handful of gypsum in there wouldn't hurt to improve the soil. And basically just get that worked up. It doesn't have to be a lot of added stuff. And just a few inches deep, really 4 inches deep, be better than what she has. And then she can just plant seeds in there. Now, you can also use the cold frame later on when you have other plants that you're started in the house, like tomatoes and peppers. When it comes time to take them outside, you move them to the cold frame. You don't even have to put the lid back on unless the temperatures threaten to get cold. Then you can stick the lid back on. But remember, if tomatoes get too tall, well, then you got a problem there. You might have to lay them down. You lay them on their sides. The next day, they're curved.
Hmm.
It only takes 24 hours, and they're curved.
Oh.
So laying them down is not always a great idea, but try not to get your tomatoes too tall
mm-hmm.
in the early stages.
So a cold frame and just a little bit of modification of the soil will go a long way for Anita this year.
Way. I love cold frames, and who says you only have to have one? Build a couple.
All right.
Right.
So, easy enough, right?
Exactly. I always had one at home, you bet.
Anita, we appreciate your question, and we'll try to get a few things posted on our Facebook page about cold frames by the end of the program today.
Yes,
as well.
And I'm sure anyone can type the words cold frame in their computer, and then these things will pop up.
Looks like we have another caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Wilma. Wilma, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
I have a flower bed in the front of my house, uh-huh. and grass has started encroaching in from the outer side of the flower bed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of grass it is, but it sends out runners. I've tried digging it out, and if there's anything left in there, it just pops up. It's really tough, and I'm trying to figure out how to kill that grass or get rid of it without having to gut the flower bed.
And the flower bed is perennials?
I've got irises and a bunch of perennials, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is a product out there called, it used to just be called grass killer.
Mm-hmm.
Another word for it was post.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what this thing did is it kills grass and nothing else.
Okay.
And the beauty of it was is people who had a strawberry bed and grass growing in it, they could
mm-hmm.
spray that.
Mm-hmm.
It would kill the grass, wouldn't hurt the strawberry bed.
Okay.
Obviously, I wouldn't do it while the strawberries were almost ready to harvest because
mm-hmm.
I don't like chemicals any more than the next guy, even though I talk about them because these things are there. You can get grass killer
mm-hmm.
and use it. And
it won't hurt the iris bulbs or the lily bulbs?
It won't hurt anything unless it's grass related.
Okay.
So pampas grass, it would kill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's beneficial grasses in this world, and it will kill them too.
Okay.
But if it's not a grass related product, it shouldn't hurt it. Of course, it comes with a label that's about a mile long, and
mm-hmm.
you can read all the things that you shouldn't spray it on that label. But this is one way to do it. And then the other way is just what you said you didn't want to do. You can always dig up the good plants, set them aside.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do in the early spring before they get very big. Set them aside, clean up the area as best you can. I would put down preen, which is a weed preventer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't for grass so much, but other weeds. It's a weed preventer. It doesn't let any seeds germinate.
Okay.
If any seeds blow into that bed. And then you can plant the plants right back in it again.
Now, can I use preen and this post together?
You can use them at two different times.
Okay.
Again, the post will only kill the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Preen will prevent any weed seeds from growing.
Right, so I would...
It's a two different kind of products, yeah. But
now,
you can use them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This grass is so tough, it's like wintering over. I mean, it's doing fine.
Oh, sure.
And so what's the earliest I can put this post out?
Well, I imagine it's got to be a little bit warmer, and you probably need to see this grass starting to grow in order for it to actually soak in and take it down to the root system.
Okay.
So I would say it would probably be in early April.
Okay, and then I can put the preen out when?
You can do that anytime at that point, too.
Okay.
April on. Because it's a weed preventer. Of course, see, if you put it out too early, there's really no seeds flying around too early. So
mm-hmm.
there's no point in doing it too early.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You bet. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Wilma, we appreciate the call. Have a very good day.
Weeds can be a problem. I have many times popped the good plants out of my garden, moved them to the side. And I know a lot of people who listen to public radio don't much care for weed killers like Roundup and that, but I've done the Roundup and then later planted the good flowers back, because that's the beauty of Roundup, is you can spray it, and then just a few days later you can go right back and plant it. It won't hurt, because it only hurts things that it touches.
Hmm.
Once it evaporates, it's not there anymore.
Oh, all right.
And so it's like a miracle thing. You use these things that are like driveway weed killers, they'll last the whole summer long. Hmm. Nothing will grow there.
Wow. Well, at some points, especially for folks who really, really care about their yards, care about their plants, at some point you have to draw the line and just say, get out of here, weeds.
Yeah, you got to get rid of them.
We do appreciate Wilma's call, and of course, everybody who's gotten in touch with us today. We do need to take a quick break for the news. When we come back, we'll have a question from Diane and from Janet as well. And of course, we want you to join the program today, 260-452-1185. If you have a question or comment for Doug Hagbarth, of course, you can always call us toll-free, 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. And don't forget, besides your questions and comments today, we want to hear from you about how you're greening up your inner spaces. How are you greening up your home? Give us a call and let us know. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters Outer Spaces.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, helping kids succeed in school with 15 education network partners, offering ways to mentor or tutor a child. UWEducationNetwork.org.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLeo with WBOI News. The Senate Committee on Education is considering a package of bills aimed at making public universities and colleges more affordable. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Gretchen Frazee reports, the proposals also seek to hold universities more accountable for the money they get from the state.
State Senator Jim Banks introduced 6 bills this week proposing a variety of measures, including increasing dual credit offerings, holding teachers more accountable for understanding their class materials, and boosting transparency in university hirings. Banks says institutions that receive state funding need to be more open about how they spend those dollars.
Even though the percentage is less today of what the state funds of their total budget, Hoosier taxpayers still provide billions of dollars every couple of years to our universities to build buildings, and we should, as Hoosiers, we should expect more out of that investment than perhaps what we're getting.
State Budget Committee Chairman Luke Kenley says he needs time to more closely consider Banks' proposals, but warns against the state getting too involved in university affairs.
I think we've always got to keep in mind that the state shouldn't be running the universities. We need to leave that to the professionals. And if we want to have some policies in place, then the state is going to have to share in the cost of implementing those policies.
4 of Banks' bills have been referred to the Senate Education Committee. The remaining 2 have not been assigned. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Gretchen Frazee.
A state lawmaker wants to require public schools to teach cursive writing after the State Department of Education made it optional 2 years ago. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
Oldenburg Republican Senator Jean Lysing says she doesn't know if any Hoosier schools have stopped teaching cursive, but says it's too important a skill to abandon, even as technology becomes prolific in society and the classroom.
If the battery's dead or the power is out, they won't know the value of a pen, pencil, or a piece of paper.
Lysing says research shows cursive helps develop cognitive and fine motor skills. Indiana Association of School Boards Executive Director Frank Bush says his organization opposes mandates from the legislature. He says if lawmakers want cursive taught, it should have the Department of Education study what schools will need in order to comply.
Time allocations, the overall staffing, the training of teachers, the programming, everything that needs to come about it.
Lysing proposed a virtually identical measure last session, but the bill failed to pass the House. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
The number of Indiana flu deaths this season has risen to 10, up from 7 at this time last week. A weekly health department report says 8 of those who died were older than 50, and 2 were under the age of 18. Health officials reported 4 influenza outbreaks in long-term care facilities, but did not say whether any deaths occurred there. An epidemiologist said earlier this week that most of the flu circulating now is an H3N2 virus that tends to be more severe than other strains. Doctors are encouraging people to get flu shots to protect against the strain that is circulating. People develop immunity about 2 weeks after receiving the vaccine. This year's outbreak is regarded as one of the worst in several years. New Indiana Health Department rules require 2 chickenpox vaccinations for all grades unless the student can prove that he or she contracted the disease in the past. Previously, some grade levels were only required to have 1 vaccination for the illness. Health officials are also recommending kindergarten students receive 2 doses of the hepatitis A vaccine. They also say 11th and 12th grade students should get the booster dose of the meningitis vaccination. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and now back to Midday Matters Outer Spaces with Sean Buter.
It's 12:43. You're tuned to Midday Matters on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter. This is the Outer Spaces edition of our program, when we ask you to give us a call with your plant and garden questions, comments, and tips. With me, of course, Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florists. Glad to have you back with us here, Doug.
It's always fun to be here.
After that vacation, and we're answering your questions and comments today. We want you to get involved in the program, 260-452-1185, or toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Doug, we've got a question here from Diane. Diane wants to know when and how to plant milkweed seeds. Diane's friend gave her a seed head this past year and would like to attract butterflies.
Well, you know, a lot of perennials are planted at this time of the year, the seeds, and then as they grow, they get moved to the outside. Sometimes perennial seeds are planted in the fall, and if it's late summer, early enough, they can plant them outside, and they're actually going to be a whole lot better the following spring. So if she hasn't planted them yet, well, she still can. It's almost like she loses a whole season of growing because she waited until now. And it's really too late to plant them now and expect to rush them outside before spring, because winter's here. So yeah, probably in July, August, plant them, get the starts and get them outside. But now she can plant them and then just later on move them to the outdoors. And they'll take off.
All right. So hopefully next year.
She'll get some butterflies. Yeah, yeah. Right.
All right. Right. Well, Diane, we appreciate the question, and good luck. Hopefully you get a whole lot of butterflies coming your way. Let's see. We also had a Facebook comment here from Janet. Janet says, any idea what this little plant is? Janet sent us a photo of the plant, started by seed and given to her probably 7 inches in the photo, which was taken in October. Now it's about 11 inches. And you can see this photo and actually give us a hand with this on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/MiddayMatters. Doug, your best
guess.
Yeah,
because I don't know exactly what it is. It looks like it could be a Shasta daisy or something in that line. It could be Streptocarpella. But the thing is, and she said it went from 7 to 11, it's stretching is what it's doing. It's getting this heat from being in the house. If it is indeed a perennial, which it looks like, having it in the house through the winter is not the best thing for it. I would actually recommend not really planting it outside at this time of the year either, because the cold weather it's not used to, but actually taking it to a place that's cold, whether it has light or not, is irrelevant because it doesn't matter. It's supposed to be dormant at this time of the year. And this is why it looks pale and why it's stretching and growing faster, because it's getting heat in the wintertime. So I would recommend moving it to basically an unheated area, such as a cold garage or even a storage shed. If you do have or a really cold basement, if you really have a place in the garage that's by a window yet it's cold, that'd be okay to put it by the window. But then once you get it out there and it's cold, I wouldn't water it until about March.
All right. Well, Janet, I'm sorry we can't entirely solve the mystery here, but like I mentioned, we put your photo up in our main Facebook page feed. I hope folks will...
To me, it looks like so many perennials at this stage, you know, just big, long, strapping leaves and nothing else.
Well, hopefully, perhaps our listeners can offer some additional insight here. Again, that's a photo from Janet at our Facebook page, facebook.com/middaymatters. And of course, we want you to post your questions and comments and concerns on that page as well. Or you can email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook page, of course. Send us a tweet. We have our phone lines open as well. That number, 260-452-1185. Looks like we have a caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Sue. Sue, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hello. Thank you. I have a relatively large bed of creeping phlox, which has been quite healthy, but the grass has crept into it terribly to where I can't seem to pull it out. Can I use the grass product you talked about?
Will it kill my creeping phlox? I think that you can. However, I'd certainly read the label before you do, because I don't believe that creeping phlox is related to grass. I mean, I could be wrong, but read the label to make sure it doesn't say not to apply on phlox, especially the creeping type. But I should think it would be okay. I should think that's just what the product's made for, because it's so hard to pull grass out of a bed of creeping phlox. And also, you could also try it in small, you know, instead of getting a spray gun out there and just spraying the entire bed, you could go out there and just with a little squirt bottle and just like squirt this grass, squirt that grass. Or is it really thick in there?
It's really thick. I've cleaned areas as much as I can, and
well, then
it's
for
a never-ending job.
Well, for safety's sake, then just try an area of it. Try maybe a fifth or a fourth of the area. Hit it pretty heavy with the spray and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But you'll have to wait, probably 2-3 weeks to make sure everything's okay. See if the grass starts to die.
Give me the name of the product again and where I can.
Well, they used to call it Post, which meant post-emergence, but just Post. Nah, they just made it simple. They call it Grass Killer. Grass Killer. Okay. And I'm not sure if it's a high-yield product. You know, every chemical company probably has something similar to it. High-yield, I believe, is what we have, but it could be, you know, any of the other types, Ortho and I can't think, Fertigreen, could be that.
If Sue says, say, goes to her her plant center and says, do you have something that used to be called Post, they probably would know what.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't. I'll tell you, so many people in garden centers don't know these products. They come out with some stuff that, unless the clerk, maybe if you talk to the owner who may really know, sometimes they get clerks in that they know a lot. They know a lot of chemicals, but some of these unusual chemicals get past them. They don't realize that they're there. So it's hard. Usually if they don't know what it is, it's on the shelf. That means they didn't sell it.
Okay.
If they knew what it was, they'd be able to sell it better.
True.
All right.
Well, Sue, very, very good luck to you, and thanks very much for the call.
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day, Doug.
Sean, that brings up an interesting story. There used to be a product called Vapam, V-A-P-A-M, simple as that. Vapam, it was a miracle product. I loved it. You could, before you started your gardening, you could mix it in a sprinkling can and go out and water your gardening soil. In other words, rototill it up first, then go out and water it with this Vapam. The Vapam would go into the soil. when the sun hit it, it would turn it into a vapor, and it would literally fumigate your soil of all insects, diseases, weeds, everything. And you didn't have to cover it. You didn't have to spray. It was so simple to use. And I talked about it once on the radio, and everybody in the world, they wanted it, that listened to the show. And then I talked to my rep, and he goes, oh, about that Vapam. He says, they're not making it anymore. Oh, man. So he's one of these traveling salesmen. He went to every garden center in the state of Indiana and Illinois that he travels to, and he picked up all their Vapam.
Wow.
They were happy to get rid of it because they never sold it. You know why? Because they didn't know what it was.
Well,
this is what happens. You don't know.
Well, if you don't know, then you can't sell it.
But you can't get it anymore. It was a cool product. I thought it was really cool.
We have just about 6 minutes left in the program here. And if you'd like to ask a question or share a comment, maybe a tip with us, just under the wire, it's 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, where you can also see the photo we posted of Janet's plant that she had a question about. And you can always get in touch with us via Twitter as well. It looks like we have an email here from Doug. Doug says, I planted a lot of spring flower bulbs this fall, but have some left over that I didn't get planted. Can I keep these unplanted bulbs until next fall, or what should I do with them? And FYI, I just checked my backyard, and the topsoil is not frozen.
It's not frozen. Not frozen. I didn't think so. Well, he could still plant them. In the ground. It's only January. Larry Walters from the park department one year told me a story. See, I sound like a guy with Alzheimer's. I'm telling stories from 25 years ago. But told me that he was out planting bulbs in January simply because he didn't get around to getting them in. So, yes, he could do that. He could also plant them in pots and either stick them in a refrigerator or an unheated garage where it's bound to stay cold the rest of this season, and leave them in the garage until warm weather comes, then pull them out, water them, and put them in the sunniest spot you can find, even outside, and they will grow and probably bloom. But keeping them till next fall probably won't work. They'll probably dry up. I wouldn't do that.
All right. Well, Doug, we appreciate the question here, and good luck. Once again, just a few moments left in the program here. If you want to get in touch, we still have a little bit of time to address your questions or comments, 260-452-1185. Or you can always get in touch with us on Twitter, I should say. That's @MiddayMatters. We have all that stuff on our Facebook page as well. Looks like we have a caller on the line here. I'm sorry, caller, I don't have your name. Who's with us today?
This is Jim.
Jim, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us.
Well, this spring I bought some product called Over the Top Grass Killer at Henderson Reed. I didn't use it, so I can't vouch for whether it works or not.
Yeah, that's the same kind of product.
It says, kills unwanted grasses in flower and shrub beds without harming most desirable plants.
Yep. Yep, that's the same kind of product, absolutely. The brand of Over the Top is a relatively new product. It's only come out in the last 3 or 4 years. And like I said, when it was called Post, nobody knew what it was. So then when they changed it to Grass Killer, well, then that meant something to somebody. But Over the Top's a great name because it means you can spray right over the top of other plants and kill grass. It's a descriptive name. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jim, we appreciate the call there. You helped us clarify a bit.
All right.
That's good.
Have a really good day. Just a few moments left in the program. Well, about 3 minutes here, I suppose. Still time to hear from one or two more people. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Looks like we have another caller on the line here. Caller, I'm sorry. Once again, I don't have your name. Who do we have with us?
Diana.
Diana, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
I have a Chinese elm tree growing inside my Wilgelia bush.
Uh-huh.
Try to kill the Chinese elm tree.
I'm sorry, Diana, you dropped out there just a little bit. Could you repeat?
We missed the question.
Oh, okay. I have a Chinese elm tree growing in the middle of my wajilia bush.
Uh-huh.
And I want to be able to kill the Chinese.
You want to kill the Chinese elm?
Yes.
Okay. You're still cutting out, but I got the question that time. I think what you're going to have to do is dig the whole thing up.
Oh, no.
And get that tree out of there and then put the wajilia back in the ground. Is this a giant wajilia? How big is the elm tree?
About the size of the bush, because I keep cutting it off.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's where you're limited. You're either going to have to keep cutting it, but I would say get way down low and cut it way underneath, or else dig the whole thing up and try to separate the two.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. There's no magic on that one.
All right.
Diana, very good luck, and thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. Just about 2 minutes, minute and a half here in the program, Doug. That's one of those moments where, you know, we don't like giving bad news on the program.
No,
but
no. But I, if I have a minute, I've got one thing I wanted to say, or do you have another thing?
Actually, I just have a tip that's come in here. Not so much for growing herbs, but what you can do with basil when you've grown too much basil paste. This was actually a comment from last week here,
yes.
So sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Basil paste and also freezing it in ice cubes.
Yeah, exactly. Go,
go
ahead.
For soups. Well, all I wanted to say is when I talk about a chemical such as Vapam that's been taken off the market, I think immediately people think, well, it was because it was bad for you, or it was no good, or, you know, the government made it go away. But that's not what happens. It costs the chemical companies a lot of money to get them licensed. And sometimes they get them licensed for 15 years. The licensing then runs out, and it costs too much money to get it reinstated. And if it's not selling well, such as a product as Vapam, the chemical company just says, you know, I don't know if I want to go to all that trouble and all that expense to relicense that product. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the product is evil. It just means it doesn't sell well, and they don't want to invest in another patent for it. So that I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Well, yeah. And that brings us up to the top of the hour here, unfortunately, Doug. Thanks so much for being with us once again.
Well, you bet. It's my pleasure. And we'll see you again next week.
That sounds great. Thanks so much to all of our listeners for joining us and for sharing your calls and your comments and questions with us. We love having you each and every week. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock. Fresh Air with your local host, Katie Anderson, is up next. Have a great day, everybody.